This segment sponsored by Gary Jordan, financial advisor with Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated. When you have the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. 2260 Oakmont Way, Eugene.
You're listening to KUJZ 95.3 The Score.
What up, yo? Welcome back. Final segment of Crunch Time on a Wednesday. That means it is time for the Crunch Exchange, brought to you by Gary Jordan, financial advisor with Ameriprise Financial Services. When you have the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Located 2260 Oakmont Way in Eugene. Phone number 541-484-2444. I'm Alex. That's Steve. Nick's over there too. Crunch Exchange.
Norway, by the way.
The answer to the trivia question. Good timing for that, Steve. It's Crunch Exchange. I'm going to bring up some stories from around the world of sports. Ask Steve if he is buying or selling the prospectus from those stories. There's also a pending option. Let us start with John F. Football. He is back in the news this week after going on Good Morning America, opening up about what led to his downfall. Among many things, he said that he was diagnosed with as bipolar about a year ago and that he has been battling depression, trying to stave it all off with medication. Kind of makes us feel like jerks for making fun of him, because bipolar disorder and depression is absolutely nothing to joke about. But he also said that he has interest from the CFL and NFL teams for workouts, and announced today that he will join a spring league scouting team to get some looks. I think I've kind of turned to rooting for him at this point, but battling that condition along with his talent level means an uphill battle for a football career for sure. So how about it? The prospectus doesn't have to be the NFL, but JFF will play football again.
Does that count, like, if his buddies are over and they play two-on-two in the street?
It does not.
Or somebody pays him
yes,
to play
organized football, where he gets paid.
CFL, arena football, NFL? You know what? I think I'm good. This is the least authoritative buy in the history of this segment, but I think I might buy that.
You might buy that. In fact, you even said might. The Oregon basketball team had a rough start to conference play this year after an uneven non-con slate, but recently has been playing extremely well. It always seems like Dana Altman's teams, no matter how young, always seem to play up when they have to, especially at the end of the year, and they really need to play well right now. Games against the LA schools, the Arizona schools, and the Washington schools loom, and right now they are not a tournament team. Sam Vicente of The Athletic tweeted yesterday, they're not even a bubble team right now, but with five quadrant one games, he called them, left, they can make themselves one very easily. That's five out of their last six games. So the prospectus, you buy or sell that the Ducks can play themselves in at this point?
Oh, to an at-large? They definitely can. I'll buy that. Now, if you tell me if I had to bet,
will they?
That's a totally different deal. I haven't seen enough to think that they're going to win five out of six, so I would say no, I'd sell that at this point.
Sean White left a lot of people slack-jawed yesterday when he went out and hit a nearly flawless last run in the halfpipe. Score was 97.75. Gives him his third gold medal in the games, as he only competes in the halfpipe, but three games out of four, he missed out in Sochi in three golds. Now, how does he rank in terms of U.S. Olympians? Bonnie Blair won five gold, six total medals. Apollo Anton Ono ended up with eight total medals when he was finished. I mean, that 80 U.S. hockey team was kind of a big deal. Endless figure skaters that ended up winning gold. Tara Lipinski, the youngest to win in 70 years when she won it in 98. So the prospectus, I know this is a tough one, but Sean White goes down as the best American Winter Olympics athlete ever.
Eric Heiden won five golds game. I think that's my topper, so I'm selling that. Plus, we learn he's a douche.
Yeah, a little bit. Talk of baseball right now, along with the fact that nobody is signing anybody, is Shohei Ohtani of the Angels. Mike Socia has the enviable task of managing one of the most versatile players we've seen in a while. Amazing pitcher and hitter in Japan, also young. And Socia says he will allow Ohtani to do both in the bigs. His plan, to have a six-man rotation, use Ohtani as a DH. He will pitch, take a day off, then 3 DH days in a row, then have 2 days off before pitching again. Sounds like it could work, so let's project. I tried to do the math, and we've all discussed that I'm not great at it at all, so I got frustrated and threw my graphing calculator across the room, but we can still guess. Because he's pitching less than a 5-day rotation and only hitting maybe 15 to 20 at-bats per week, then he'll have fewer opportunities to do both, and it's his first time in doing both in Major League Baseball. So, prospectus, you buy or sell Ohtani can be successful at both in this plan?
No, I'm selling that.
It's like the most talking I've ever done for one of the least you've ever done. Notre Dame recently had an appeal to the NCAA denied, which means 21 wins they had between 2012 and 2013 are vacated. That includes all 12 they had during their national championship run in 2012, which they lost to Bama in the Natty. The reason is because they had a trainer help two players cheat in class and provide 6 athletes with impermissible extra benefits. So they cheated in class, got punished for it because the players were therefore ineligible. Notre Dame's argument is that they were the ones who found out about it and self-reported it and should be treated more leniently because of that. They claim they were treated too similarly to North Carolina, which had way more violations. So the prospectus, Notre Dame's punishment was fair.
Bottom line is, if Notre Dame football is miserable and aggravated, I'm generally happy. But it looks like, once again, the NCAA has its thumb so far up its rear end it can't see the light of day. And they dropped a nuke to kill a gnat at a summer picnic. This is so far out of line and so unreasonable, especially when you think that UNC walked away, which was exactly what they said, looked like so much more blatant, in your face, screw you, we're North Carolina, we can do what we want, violations. This is actually irrational and unfair. I'm totally selling that one.
Yeah, and apparently all of that was true. They are North Carolina and they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, who knew?
Well, I guess we knew. We have a local prospectus on our hands for the last one. South Eugene High School will no longer use the Axemen name and will instead be called the Axe or the South Eugene Axe. As a South grad, I find as time goes on, I care less and less, but there are tangible consequences to this move. It will cost the school $10,000 to change the logos and uniforms and whatnot around the school. The reasoning seems good, right? To promote inclusiveness. I mean, we don't want to make people feel less than, do we? And who are we to tell them how to feel about stuff? Also, we're old, so. But the money is very real for a high school in our community. Money doesn't exactly flow or fall from trees or anything like that. So the prospectus, axing Axemen was a smart move by the school. And the district.
Axing Axemen.
Yeah. I used it and I regret it. And I don't feel good about it.
That's not bad at all.
I think it was wise.
It was one of those deals. It's done. It's over. Move on. I'm going to buy that.